Good morning, church. I too would like to welcome you here this morning to our service. Thank you for joining us, and thank you for just an incredible time of worship. Thank you for blessing me. As I was sitting just before I came up, I was listening, and thank you for blessing me with your voices in worship. It was absolutely just a powerful time, so thank you for that. Thank you for using your gifts to do that. This morning, I just want to just remind us all as a church, we have several families that have lost loved ones in the past weeks and months. And so we just want to, encourage you as a church to reach out to those people, those families, and just continue to be an encouragement to them in their time of loss and moving on in life without loved ones and what that might look like. And so be the church to be the family, as Braden talked about earlier, be the family to those people. And then also, last Sunday, I think I mentioned that Romy Rempel is in the hospital, and she had, at that time, she was rushed into surgery for her third surgery. Yesterday morning, she was rushed into emergency for her fourth surgery. And so we need just invite you to continue to pray for Romy. She is, if you don't know who she is the daughter to Merle and Teresa Martins, and also John and Sandra, daughter-in-law to John and Sandra Rempel. So pray with them. Pray for Graham, her husband, as they navigate this difficult journey. And so, too, I want to spend some time right now as a church lifting up those who have lost loved ones who are grieving, and also those for Romy. Let's pray. Lord God and loving Heavenly Father, we come before you as this church body, brothers and sisters in Christ, and our hearts are grieved with our brothers and sisters who are mourning the loss of their loved ones. Father, we pray that you would continue to be the God of comfort, the God of peace, in the midst of mourning, in the midst of sorrow. Father, would they recognize you in the times when they are the hardest. And so, Father, we thank you that you are a God who cares deeply for those who are hurting. And Lord, I pray too that we as a church would know and understand or find ways to be able to be an encouragement to the families and friends of loved ones who have lost loved ones. Father, too, we want to pray for Romy in this time of uncertainty and frustration. God, I pray that you would give her a heart of endurance, perseverance, as she goes through so many surgeries. And so, Father, I pray that this surgery yesterday will have cleared up all of the issues, all of the challenges, and I pray that you would work in her body to bring healing to her body. And Father, if there still is some underlying issues, that you would give much wisdom to the doctors, to the surgeons, whoever needs to continue to work with her. And God, too, we recognize you as the ultimate healer. And so we invite you to just do a work in her physical body, but also in this time, that it would be a time of drawing closer to you. So we pray for this couple as they have walked this journey for several weeks now in four surgeries. Pray that you would uplift them, you would uphold them, and they would just sense your presence even this hour. Father, we give you thanks for your goodness and your love for us. Now as we look at your word, Father, may you, through your Holy Spirit, speak to us. Pray these things in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. I do love, before I get into the sermon, I do love hearing from those who have lost loved ones, from Merle and Therese, just the notes of encouragement, the meals, all of those things. Thank you for being the church to those that are hurting. Thank you so much. It means so much to them. Imagine receiving a beautifully wrapped gift, and maybe with Christmas not that far behind us, this is fairly close, but imagine receiving a beautifully wrapped gift, one that fills you with anticipation the moment you see it. It's not just any gift. In fact, it's a gift from someone you deeply admire and love. Someone who knows you intimately, knows what you like, knows your likes and your wants, and chose the gift specifically for you. And you carefully unwrap it and discovering its beauty and worth, but then you set it aside. It's never used. Days turn into months, months turn into years, and it remains untouched, just gathering dust. Now think about how you might feel if you had been the giver of that gift. You have chosen it with love and purpose, and you realize that it was never opened. Think about if you have received that gift and it was still on the shelf, what might you have missed out on? What opportunities did you miss for joy or growth by leaving it unused? The truth is, every single one of us has been given at least one gift by God. Unique abilities, talents, and opportunities meant to make an impact right here where you live, where you work, where you play, and do life. Yet, how often do we leave those gifts hidden or forgotten? Today we continue our series, Entrusted, Living as Faithful Stewards, and we're going to explore the gifts that God has uniquely given to each one of us. Last week we examined God's generosity as our model for stewardship. This week we're going to turn our focus to the talents and abilities God has placed in your hands, gifts that are designed not only to bless you, but to reflect God's grace and accomplish His purpose in the world. And so I want to begin, and last week I talked about our foundational passage, or if you will, verses for this series is found in 1 Peter chapter 4. And so turn with me if you have your Bibles. We're just going to look briefly at 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 10. And then this is where the Apostle Paul reminds us of this truth, of that gift. Each one has received a special gift. So again, each one of us has at least received one special gift. And Paul goes on to say, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. This verse is a powerful reminder that the gifts, spiritual gifts, talents, abilities, or opportunities are not just for our own personal use, our own personal benefit, but they are part of a divine trust to us. They were given to us, to each one of you, with the expectation that they would be used responsibly, cultivating and nurturing God's creation. And when we embrace the reality of being stewards of God's grace, we begin to see that every gift, and I'm going to say something here, every gift, whether great or small, but I don't believe that there is greater or smaller gifts in the sense that they all need to be done to accomplish God's work. So, but sometimes we view them as greater and smaller. So every gift, whether great or small, has eternal significance when placed in, when offered to God to use. The message today is not about guilt or condemnation for the gifts we've neglected. It's an invitation to embrace the beauty and purpose of living out the calling God has given us through the gifts that He's given to each one of us, to you. And perhaps the best place to start is by understanding the gifts we've been giving. The first step in living faithful stewards is recognizing the gifts that God has entrusted to us. In 1 Peter 4:10, Peter describes these gifts as part of God's manifold grace, a term that means varied or multifaceted, reminding us that God's grace is rich and it's diverse. And it's expressed in so many unique ways to meet the needs of the people. These gifts are not static, but they are active, equipping believers to serve in teaching or encouragement. Maybe perhaps it's mercy, leadership, hospitality, and of course more. The diversity of these gifts ensures that, and I love this, take note of this. The diversity of these gifts ensures that every need in the church can be met when we serve together. When we use, each one of us is using the gift or gifts that God has given us. As stewards of God's grace, we are called to use these gifts to faithfully for the good of others and the glory of God. In Romans 12, verse 4 to 8, Paul expands on the diversity of the gifts within the body of Christ. Romans 12, verse 4 to 8 says, "For just as we have many members in one body and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the portion of his faith. If service, in serving. Or he who teaches, in his teaching. Or he who exhorts, in his exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness." Paul writes, we have different gifts according to the grace given to us. And so he's comparing believers to a human body. That each one of us has a part, a unique function, yet all work together as one. Each one cannot be independent of the other. There's always some kind of a shortfall. And these gifts are intentionally varied. Teaching, encouragement, mercy, leadership, hospitality, and many more, of course. Because no one has all the gifts. And so we are designed purposely to depend on one another. God designed us that way, that we are to be dependent on each other. And this diversity of the gifts, this diversity that every gift, no matter how big or small, is essential to God's plan. Whether you serve behind the scenes or lead in a visible place, your gift is vital. I want to try and illustrate what I mean. And so, go ahead and can you turn the lights down so that we can see this as we walk through this? I want to illustrate by reading this little illustration for you. A broken key. Even though my typewriter is an old model, it works quite well, except for one of the keys. I have many times wished that it is worked perfectly. It is true that there are 41 keys that function well enough, but just one key not working makes the difference. Sometimes it seems to me that our church is something like my typewriter. Not all the key people are working properly. As one of them, you may say to yourself, well, I am only one person. I don't make or break the church. But it does make a difference, because a church, to be effective, needs the active participation of every person. So the next time your efforts are not needed very much, remember my typewriter and say to yourself, I'm a key person in the congregation, and I am needed very much. The author is unknown. The local body of Christ, where you worship, needs you and cannot be the same without you. So be the E God designed you to be. You see, you can read it. I can manage my way through it, but there was points. I didn't read it very often because I didn't want to become familiar with it, but it slowed me down. It accomplished what we wanted to accomplish, but not the way that we were designed to read it. Be the E God designed you to be. When you consider your gifts, ask yourselves, how can I use my gifts, my abilities, my talents to glorify God and others? Whether it's lifting the weary through encouragement, meeting needs with a servant's heart, or teaching with clarity and truth, every act of faithful stewardship reflects God's manifold grace and points to his eternal purposes. God's gift in your hands is his glory in your actions. The purpose of these gifts is clear. They're for the building up of the body of Christ and serving the world. This truth reminds us that stewardship of our gifts is not about guilt for what we haven't done, but joy in discovering what happens when you use the gift that God has given you. There is joy in using the gift that God has given you. The second key point we see in 1 Peter 4:10 and Romans 12, 6-8 is that our gifts are meant for stewardship, service and stewardship. Peter says that we are to use our gifts in serving one another. What does Dan always say? The way we one another. And Paul urges us to use our gifts for the good of the body of Christ, recognizing that we are all interconnected. And what benefits one person, one part of the body, benefits the whole. Stewardship is the responsibility, simply put, stewardship is the responsibility of managing what has been entrusted to you. God has entrusted you with his grace in the form of gifts. And you and I are to manage them wisely and faithfully. Again, it's not about doing more. It's not about striving harder. It's about living intentionally, living with purpose. Stewardship means recognizing that our time, our talents, and resources are not ours to keep, but our gifts from God meant to serve others and reflect his grace. When you use your gifts in service to others, you bring glory to God. And Peter reminds us that our stewardship of God's gift is ultimately about his grace. And Paul in Romans 12 makes it clear that whatever gift you have, use it to honor and glorify him. God has gifted each one of you with both natural talents and supernatural gifts for the purpose of reflecting his image to accomplish his purposes. Natural talents, whether they are musical abilities, maybe it's craftsmanship or artistic skills, are part of God's original design. They reflect his creativity and his order. These talents, they're entrusted to us as raw material to be developed, nurtured, and stewarded for his glory and the good of others. As believers, we are given supernatural gifts through the Holy Spirit. Those gifts cannot be attained in any other way. They are gifts from God through the Holy Spirit. Such as prophecy, healing, wisdom, discernment, teaching, that empower us to go beyond our natural human abilities and serve God in the church, advancing God's kingdom in ways that transcend human understanding, human capacity. These gifts, talents, and abilities work together in harmony when surrendered to God. Natural talents become vehicles for his supernatural gifts. A musician's skill, empowered by the Holy Spirit, can lead to worship and encouragement. A carpenter's work becomes ministry when guided by the gift of service. Natural talents, when submitted to God, are amplified by the Holy Spirit for a much higher purpose. A teacher may share knowledge, but when filled with their Holy Spirit, the teaching becomes a source of prophecy and wisdom and leading others to Christ, possibly, or at very least, planting a seed. Natural talents foster beauty and order, while spiritual gifts strengthen the church Together, they create a fuller expression of God's work where both creation and the body of Christ thrive. Natural talents and supernatural gifts are not in competition with one another. They complement each other. And when used for God's glory, they reflect His image, build His church, and make an impact in the world. Whether through art, teaching, or service, every ability, natural and supernatural, fulfills God's purpose and glorifies Him. Last year, Pat and I had the privilege of going to Careth Creek. It's a ministry renewal retreat center, and so we spent a week there. And as we began to tell our story to the directors, we shared of Pat's journey through two kidney transplants. And one of the directors shared about this doctor friend of the family's. He lives in Canada, but he is responsible for creating the medication that Pat has been on for almost 30 years. The doctor, a family friend of the director, shared how the doctor had been working in the lab until late one night. And they'd gone through all of this, the first stage, they're trying to create this, and the drug didn't seem to pass the test for this to move to the next stage. And so he went home. And as he walked through the entrance of his house, he stood in the entranceway, and he just wasn't like praying that way, but he was kind of having a conversation with God, and God somehow revealed to him, you know what, this, we need to try again. You need to try again. You need to phone back to the lab and have your assistant try again. And so he phoned back and he said, hey, I want you to move on to the next stage. I want you to go to the next trial piece. And the guy's like, you know, we just walked through this. It didn't work. He said, you know what, just trust me. You need to just trust me on this. And as he prayed, he realized that what led him to this anti-rejection medication was God had laid it on his heart, had impressed upon his heart that he wanted to make the quality of life better for those who were getting transplants. Specifically, his work was in nephrology, which is kidneys. And so he just phoned back and he just said, trust me. Well, in the morning, he went back into the lab, and now 30 years later, we know the result of what happened. The story illustrates how using our gifts, wisdom, talents, and abilities, the gift of service, encouragement, creativity, can transform ordinary moments into reflections of God's love. See, often we relate these gifts and talents and abilities, and it's true that they are in the church, they are for the church, but that's not the only place. They extend outside of the church into the world as well. And we see that in this illustration. God's gift in your hands, in my hands, is His glory in your actions, in my actions. Living out the gifts that God has given us requires intentionality, openness to His leading. And whether it's through our natural talents or our supernatural gifts, each ability is meant to reflect God's image and build His kingdom. And to steward these gifts well, we need to take practical steps in our everyday lives. The first way we can do this is, and I know this is a struggle, I know this is a challenge, but you need to recognize your gifts. And so I want you today, this week, to reflect on if you're uncertain, or even if you know, maybe you haven't used your gift, maybe you've shelved it, maybe it's collecting dust. But I want you to reflect on both your natural talents and your supernatural gifts or gift. I know you have one. and what that is. Pray about it. Seek input from others. But also even ask yourself, what brings you joy? Last weekend, I needed my headlights fixed on my truck, and they're HIDs, and they have ballasts and stuff, and I'm not the stuff kind of guy. And so we went to my friend's place, our friends, and I just said, you know, can you do this? Actually, I bought the ballast like 2 years ago. Long story. Anyways, finally, it's getting done. And we sat down, and he's sitting there, and he said, and I said, you know, sorry. I don't mean you to do this on, you know, we haven't seen each other in a long time, and I don't want you to do this because, you know, we haven't seen each other, and you worked all day, physically. And he said, you know what, as he's sitting there, he's doing a few different things, he said, you know what, this brings me joy. He said, this is what I get to do in my job. I get to sit sometimes in the shop, and I get to do these things and create things and do things. It brings me joy. So ask yourself, what brings you joy? Because often we can use what brings us joy to serve others. And man, it's powerful when you have no mechanical ability at all. When people are willing to serve and use their gifts to help you out. And then one of the other things is, what do others affirm about you? That's often a big answer to the question, what are my gifts? What are my talents? What are my abilities? Others can see far more easily in us than what we see. I know there's lots of spiritual gifts tests and those different things. I'm a skeptic, so I'm skeptical of them. I think there's some value in them, but I think these are some really good places to start. And then understanding how God has uniquely gifted you will help you use your gifts, your talents, and your abilities effectively in his kingdom. And secondly, use your gifts at home, work, or at play. Serve in the places where you spend the most time. At home, natural gifts like hospitality or leadership can build up your family. At work, you have opportunities at work, or those who coach sports. Maybe it's through teaching, organizing, or serving with excellence. Your gifts can reflect Christ to those around you. Serve in your community. Look for opportunities to serve those around you. Serve in your church. A musician might teach music to underprivileged kids, or an administrator could help a local charity with its work. An artist might hold a community class to teach others some of those gifts. A mechanic might teach some basic skills to help less mechanical people. Don't teach me, just help me. Or more correctly, just do it. I'll pay you. Whether it's through skills or spiritual gifts, each action serves as a testimony of God's grace. Reflect God's grace in all you do. That's what Colossians 3:17 tells us. Whatever you do, do it for God's glory. Whether you're using your natural abilities to create beauty or spiritual gifts to encourage, the gifts are meant to reflect God's love and truth. Often we, in the church, maybe don't recognize creativity. The way artistic people express themselves to bring glory to God. You see, this doctor, he created this anti-rejection drug to bring glory to God, and because he wanted people to be able to enjoy a fuller life even though they were sick. And you know what? Because of his God-given gifts, talents, and abilities, my wife has had 30 years of a pretty decent quality of life for most of those. But one of the things that I love, and sometimes in the church we don't recognize, that perhaps you could be an architect and use your gifts and talents for God's glory. Do you know what? You know what brings me joy? I mean, so many things. I love the outdoors, the scenery, God's creation, but I love architecture. I love and wonder what people were thinking when they create tall, massive buildings. When I go to any city and it's tall, I love it, and my head is like this the entire time. You can tell I'm a tourist anywhere I go and there's a tall building. But I love the uniqueness, and one of the things that goes through my mind, I wonder what they were thinking. I wonder what went on in their heads to design it this way. They wanted it to look this way so people found beauty in it. What about art? I'd love to go to sit in or walk through the Ramey Modern Art Center and enjoy some of the art there. Or if you've ever seen artists who are painting and you hear the story behind it, it's incredible because they want to reflect God's glory and touch somebody. What about a musician writing a song of the journey they went through and they want to use it? Natural talents and supernatural gifts are not separate. They work to serve God's purposes by recognizing, and for us, by recognizing and using both, we can make an eternal impact both in your family, in your workplace, in your community, and in all of the places where you go. Every gift, no matter how small it seems, has the potential to reflect God's glory and make a difference for his kingdom. God's gifts in your hands is his glory in your actions. Be the E God designed you to be. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the incredible gifts and talents that you have given to each one of us. Father, thank you that we can enjoy the gifts and talents of each person. And so, Father, I pray today that we would continue to recognize our need to be a part of the family and do our part in the church to serve and glorify you so that all of the keys are working properly. Father, we give you thanks that we are not left on our own and on our own to our own devices, but you have given us the Holy Spirit to accomplish your good work in and through you. We pray this in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.